Ranger Brigade.
Aye and aye again, that they might, Mutton Chops replied. Fist and Fury, I call them. Fist and Fury. And any I'm putting against them ain't the happiest of me students. Be a good friend, then, for me, and send the little ones on their way. And might that ye start the next group to their strengthening exercises. I'll not be gone long.
Rocky nodded, and Mutton Chops left in a hurry, the cagey old dwarf realizing that he'd have to be quick now. Brunner walked along the quiet tunnels of Citadel Felbar soon after, his practice axe swinging at the end of his right arm, shield still strapped on his left. Another day. Another wasted day. That was how he saw it, at least, for he had long ago acclimated to this new body. It was fully his own now, as surely as had been the muscled and scarred one his spirit had departed in the depths of Gontalgrim. He even looked like himself, his old self, like Brunner Battlehammer at the age of 9. That notion had surprised him when first he had realized the resemblance. He had wondered about it, of course, unsure of how Mialiki's gift might affect such things. Might he have been a blue-bearded dwarf, or even a female? Caddybri hadn't said, after all, explaining only that they would be reborn somewhere in Faerun to parents of their own race. She hadn't mentioned gender or their expected appearance at all. Wouldn't Drizzt be in for a surprise if he met Caddybri again, only to find her not a her at all, but a strapping young lad? Brunner shook that discomforting thought out of his head. He felt like himself now. There was no other way to describe it. His reflection looked familiar to him. His hands were the young hands he had known as a battle-hammer dwarfling. And he was fully in control of this young body, more so even than he had been the first time around at a similar age. His private practice sessions showed him the truth. He could execute moves that a 9-year-old Brunner had never imagined. His understanding of battle remained, and all the centuries of training had followed him through the spirit world to this new physical form. He had to attend the classes of Murgatroyd Stonehammer, of course, for they were not optional in Citadel Felbar. But he feared that these sessions were actually dulling his senses and unlearning the great lessons repetition and action had so deeply imbued within him. And, of course, there was always the possibility that he would forget himself in one of these ridiculous training fights and actually humiliate or even lay low a fine young dwarf. The dwarf sighed and turned down a lonely lane in the quarter of the underground complex that housed the city soldiers. He brought his wooden axe up onto his shoulder and thought of another weapon, one many-notched. The attack came from the side, a heavy and squat form charging out at him, shield-rushing behind a thick oaken buckler. Hardly even thinking of the movement, indeed thinking of nothing but getting out of the way, the surprised Brunner threw himself forward and down to the side, exactly as he had done with the Argoot boy earlier. Up came his shield to cover his head and facilitate the roll, and he came around in perfect balance as the highway dwarf, or whomever or whatever it might be, sped past. Unlike in the practice fight, however, Brunner wasn't about to let this one get past him so easily. He flung himself around, his wooden axe reaching out fast at the attacker's trailing ankle. With a proper weapon, he might have severed the fool's foot, but with the practice axe, he took a different tact, hooking the axe head around his attacker's ankle and tugging hard. When that proved futile, given the difference in size, where Brunner could not hope to pull this one's feet out from under him, Brunner instead scrabbled forward with all speed. He unhooked the axe as he crashed against the attacker's leg and again could barely budge the assailant, who had recovered his balance by then. Up went the practice axe's tip, right between the attacker's legs, prodding at his groin. And when Brunner's opponent predictably hopped up on his toes and rushed forward, Brunner swatted the trailing foot so that it tripped up on the back of the suddenly retreating attacker's forward ankle. Now the assailant staggered, and when he tried to put his feet back under him and swing around, he found a dwarfling flying upon him, crashing against him ferociously, climbing up him and rolling right over him, and so perfectly setting the wooden axe handle across the assailant's throat as he did. Brunner threw himself over the shoulder, twisting as he went, gripping the handle down low with one hand, up high with the other, as if his very life depended on it. For indeed, such seemed to be the case. The assailant gasped something indecipherable as he fell back with Brunner tumbling atop him as they went down in a heap. Brunner knew that he couldn't hope to choke the life out of this one, or even to extract himself and get away. For all his skill, he couldn't outfight an attacker so much heavier and stronger, and certainly not with a practice axe. So he bit the assailant's ear instead, his jaw clamping down through the thick fabric of a veil or mask of some sort, and with a growl he stubbornly took hold. His victim issued a stream of invectives, along with a long grunt, "Arr!" And he pushed back against the chokehold, and Brunner couldn't hope to counter the strength of this adult. Or could he? His thoughts swirled back to the throne of Gontalgrim, and he felt the power of Clangadin coursing through his veins, tightening his muscles. He let go of the ear then, and focused on the axe handle, bringing it in tight against his victim's throat, pressing the assailant's windpipe despite the desperate counterpush. But then from the memory of the throne came the wisdom of Moradin, reminding him that no dwarfling his age could possibly win out in a contest like this. He was revealing a great secret in holding fast against the stubborn pull of his frantic victim. Better that, he realized, than being murdered in an empty lane. The attacker growled again, so Brunner thought, but then he realized that the R was really RR, and in a voice that the old dwarf in a dwarfling's body surely recognized. With a squeal, Brunner gave up the fight and let the assailant, Muttonchop's stone hammer, wrest the wooden practice axe from his grasp. As Muttonchops came forward with a sudden release, Brunner rolled out to the side, put his feet under him, and scrambled away.
"By the gods, ye little rat!"
Muttonchops said, gasping and choking through each word. He rolled up to a sitting position and stared back at the young dwarfling, who was on his feet again, set in a defensive posture and ready to throw himself into the fray or to run away in the span of an eye-blink.
"Ye near broke me neck,"
the old dwarf said, rubbing his throat, his other hand going to his bleeding ear.
"Why?" Brunner demanded. "Master, why was I angering ye then?"
Muttonchops began to laugh, though he found himself coughing repeatedly as he did. Brunner didn't know what to make of any of this.
"I knew ye was cheatin' in the fights,"
Muttonchops declared as if in victory.
"And cheatin' against yourself, ye derned fool!"
Brunner shrugged, still not catching on. Muttonchops stood up and Brunner inched aside, ready to flee, but the old dwarf tossed him his practice axe and seemed to relax then.
"Ye ain't for doing your father proud in the fightin' glasses," Muttonchops explained. "Your father, you know. R.R., Captain of the Guard, as fierce